It's hot. Sarah DeGennaro is pushing her daughter Ellie in a stroller across a large, bumpy, grassy field on what used to be owned by the Cameron and Benahan families. Now it's called Historic Stagville. At its peak, some 900 slaves lived and worked there. Some slave cabins still stand today.
It tells a really rich story about North Carolina history. It's tangible history.
DeGennaro loves this stuff, a real history buff. As a matter of fact, in April, she and her family visited Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia, where General Robert E. Lee surrendered to Union General Ulysses S. Grant.
Were there a lot of people of color there at that?
No. I mean, you have... that's a big difference, is that you have engagement from the African-American community events like this, whereas with the big battles and... That's a pretty white audience.
And that's how it looked not far from here, at Bennett Place. A few weeks ago, Civil War reenactors in blue coats and gray coats also marked the 150th anniversary of the end of the war. The Bennett family farm is where the largest Confederate surrender of troops took place. Again, it was easy to count the small number of blacks who attended. Joseph McGill is the founder of the Slave Dwelling Project in South Carolina.
I was pleasantly surprised to see the diversity of people here. If it was not 50-50, I would say it would be was more like 75, 25 African-American.
McGill works near Charleston, where the Civil War began. He's seen commemorations marking the 150th of the beginning of the war until now.
I did not see a lot of African-Americans participating in commemorating the beginning, although I saw some. But I saw far less commemorating the end, which should have been a total opposite.
McGill says this is the war that officially granted slaves their freedom.
I know that I'm very happy about emancipation. I think that was an important step forward for our country.
Anna Agbee-Davies is an assistant professor of anthropology at UNC Chapel Hill. She specializes in the plantation societies of the colonial Southeast. She says this is a difficult history for African Americans, one that's fraught with emotion, positive and negative.
I think the focus on the war is perhaps less appealing to people of color because the way it's presented, certainly in schools, is that the war was maybe about their fate, but it wasn't driven by them.
Steal away. Steal away home. I ain't got long. Stay here.
At Stagville, seasoned African-American interpreters were on hand to tell stories of sharecropping and how women made money cooking after the war. Clarissa Clifton is an interpreter at the Archibald Smith Plantation site in Roswell, Georgia. She's wearing a long dress, apron, and head wrap while making fried sweet potato pies.
Basically, the fried pies come about because slaves in the kitchen, when you're making a pie, you got to cut off the crust around it. And of course, their pies would have been much smaller than this. And you would have like taken it in whatever you were making the pies with, the leftovers, and you could make a sweet treat for your own family.
The two pit fires were full of black pots filled with frying pies, chicken, stewing lamb, beans, squash, and greens. Charlotte Chatfield of Durham is comfortable commemorating the end of the Civil War here. A couple of years ago, she traced her family roots back to this site.
It makes me feel connected to the history of this country because a lot of people don't realize that American history is our history because we helped to build the foundation of this country.
There isn't consensus about how one should feel about the end of the war, but more and more blacks are likely to participate in coming years because after the war came Reconstruction, when many ex-slaves prospered. Leonida Inge, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.